The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profits on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today, in this episode, we're going to speak about Imam al-Hussein, the Ark of Salvation. Accept our condolences on the month of Muharram. Inshallah, all of your deeds and gatherings for Imam Hussein has been accepted by Allah the Almighty.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
I swear to Allah.
Today, Wednesday, is the 16th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Nun, verses 10 to 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Faqultu astaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara.
And said, ask forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, he is ever a perpetual forgiver.
يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا.
He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers.
ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا.
And give you increase in wealth and children, and provide for you gardens, and provide for you rivers.
ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا.
What is the matter with you that you do not attribute to Allah due grandeur?
وقد خلقكم أطوارا.
While he has created you in stages.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In these blessed verses, Prophet Nuh, peace be upon him, proceeds with his impressive guidance, addressing his obdurate and disobedient people by encouraging them and bearing glad tidings to them, and promising them that if they desist from committing sins and disbelief, Allah the Almighty will grant them his bounties and graciousness. Addressing his Lord, he is saying that he asked them to ask the Lord for forgiveness of their sins. He not only absolves them of their sins, but upon turning toward him, they will be granted bountiful rain from the heaven in abundance. Why is Imam al-Hussein the guiding light and the salvation ship? The need arises once again for divine surgery to separate between the opposites, and to save light from darkness, truth from misguidance, and goodness from corruption. They need returns for the ark of salvation to transfer humanity and the believers from the seas of darkness to the shore of faith in the holy land of Karbala on the 10th of Muharram, 61 AH. And so it was named the Ark of Salvation. This ark is present in every age where darkness increases and illness intensifies, where corruption and evil dominate, and the evil gains power. This is none other than the Ark of Salvation, which belongs to Imam al-Hussein.
Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Hussein comes from a family which has been described by the Prophet in a very beautiful way in a hadith which is known as Hadith al-Safina, one of the questions that you had there, where the Prophet says, Ala inna mathala ahla bayti fikum, verily the example of my family among you, among the ummah, mathalo safina til nuh. It is like the example of the Ark of Nuh. Man rakibaha naja whoever embarks on that safina, he will be saved from the azab of akhirah. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا هَلَكَ. And whoever abandons that ark of salvation, that person will perish. It's very interesting to see that the Prophet, you know, described his own Ahlul Bayt by looking at a very important example in the history of revealed religions. There are some miracles in the history of religions which are very prominent, and one of them is this whole issue of the story of the flood during the days of Nuh alayhi salam. And the main part in that, you know, as in Mojiza, was the issue of this safina and the ark that Nuh alayhi salam built. And so when we talk about this concept of safina, Hussein indeed is the ark of salvation for us. If we hold on to him, then we will be able to maintain our right path. Salawat Malik Parah.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
In this part, we learn about one of the effects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein. There were a number of uprisings after the movement of Ashura, both in that period of time and later years, against oppression and tyrant of governments. Among them, the uprising of the people of Medina was one of the most important ones. Those who started the movement were not thinking about victory, but they decided to stand against tyranny as a social duty. There were other Islamic and non-Islamic movements in later years which has the teachings of Karbala in mind. Moreover, there were many religious and non-religious uprisings throughout history which had set their goal to fight against oppression, but most of them had affected their own period of time and not further. Or they had taken advantage of the people's emotions and were later forgotten. On the contrary, the event of Ashura was not limited to a few years after its taking place. It affected societies from the first day until the present time.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
This is IRIB English Radio, today's special in the month of Muharram. The abundant water and tragedy of thirst. From the most ancient times, this tract of the lower Euphrates has been a garden. It was a cradle of early civilization, a meeting place between Sumer and Arab, and later between the Persians and Arabs. It is a rich, well-watered country. It is of particularly tragic significance that on the border of such a well-watered land should have been enacted the tragedy of the great and good men dying of thirst
and slaughtered because they refused to bend the knee to forces of iniquity. The English poet's lines, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink, are brought home forcibly to you in this borderland between abundant water and desolate lands.
What is this force that defies the laws of physics? Who is this Hussein that can do this? Up until these days? Up until these days, some members of the camp of Imam al-Hussein were vociferously opposed to Imam al-Hussein and hated and despised Amir al-Mu'min, Zuhayr ibn al-Qais, who was Uthman. He followed Uthman and blamed Amir al-Mu'mineen for killing him. What is it about Imam al-Hussein that can take people like that or people like me and turn them into something much, into much better versions of themselves? This is Abu Abdullah. Ashhadu annaka nurullah. This is another ziyarah of Imam Hussein. By the way, the ziyarah that are narrated in Kamil al-Ziyarat by Ibn Quluwayh and other books of hadith have incredible secrets embedded within them that just need the greatest scholars and the greatest minds to decode them and to try and gain an insight into the true nature of Imam al-Hussein, which is the most elusive thing in existence. There's no way we can understand the true nature of the Imam, but there are hints, and most of them are in these ziyarat. Ashhadu annaka nurullah, I bear witness that you are the light of God. What does it mean to be the light of God Himself? Subhanallah. Ashhadu annaka nurullah alladhi lam yatfa, that has never been extinguished, wala yutfa'u abada, and will never be extinguished. Do you know what the second part of the ziyarah means? It means we stand to be challenged. You think you can extinguish the light of Hussein? Come. Let's see what you can do. Let's see what you're capable of.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all from today's special from IRIB English Radio. Believe you in protection of Allah, the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a wise aphorism from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's fourth infallible heir. Fear God and know that you will inevitably return to Him, when everyone will see his good and bad deeds right before his or her very eyes, he or she will wish for the longest period of time to separate himself or herself from bad deeds.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We've spoken a lot about the ziyarah and the visitation of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and especially the merits of the particular place of the grave of Imam al-Husayn, the soil that surrounds that place, the soil that surrounds the city, the benefit and the blessings of one who visits, in terms of that that person will be prayed for by the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, by the angels, by the jinn, by the fish, by the creation, by everything. But does this mean that, you know, those who cannot go for the ziyarah are deprived of this? The Imams alayhi salam themselves have given advice on how to perform the ziyarah from a distance. And who knows, maybe, you know, it is counted, you know, as a better ziyarah and a more influential ziyarah in our lives than that ziyarah that we go close to the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why? Because it is done with intention, it is done with purity, it is done with sincerity. While we are there, we might be, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this, but because we are there, we might have, you know, some arrogance in our heart. Or we might have some, you know, riyah in our hearts that, oh, look, I'm here, I should perform it in this way. People look at me, that I'm doing it in these haram of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. So we have these type of possibilities. So here in this tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he tells one of his companions that, you know, regarding the ziyarah and the visitation of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam from a distance, and it should also be performed from a distance. It should not just be left that a person who, no, I have to go to the grave, and I, no, create a connection with the Imam. A connection of souls does not need distance, my dear brothers and sisters. Create a connection with the Imam. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that if any of you lives far from us, that any of the Imams, and there is a great distance between you and us, and this is what the Imam recommends, you should ascend to the highest place of your home, wherever that may be. The there are other traditions that we will mention it. If this is not, there are other traditions that say a person should go somewhere else. Inshallah, we will mention those traditions as well. Highest place of your house, establish two units of prayer, point towards our graves, and say salam to us. All you have to say is a simple salam. As-salamu alayk, Ya Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Or as-salamu alayk, you know, Ya Abu al-Hasan, Ya Ali ibn Musa Rida, or any of the Imams. For verily, it will reach us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to create this connection with the Imams, that even from afar, where most of us are, we don't forget the Imams and we create this connection with our Imams. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and our honorable guest, dear brother Muhammad Reza, is here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all of your listeners of this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. In the first part, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran. After that, we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, and then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to listen to some other interesting Quranic parts. So stay tuned. The audience, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. This prominent master of Quran recitation was born in 1928 in a rural area of Egypt, in the province of Qaribiya, you know, the birthplace of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail and Sheikh Khalil al-Husari. And although being blind, he managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely at an early age. He was interested in the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, and at first he followed Sheikh's style, but after gaining more skills and expanding his experience, he mastered an independent style in reciting the Holy Quran. And he entered Egyptian radio in 1964 and passed away in 2003. Now it's time to listen to Sheikh Abdul Aziz Hassan reciting Suratul An'am, verse 152. Let's enjoy.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Abdulaziz Hassan reciting Suratul An'am, verse 152. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This was a very beautiful recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Abdulaziz Hassan. Very beautiful. In fact, I've listened to this recitation many, many times.
Of course it is.
And it's beautiful in terms of not just the maqamat, it's the way that he conveys the meaning of the verses. When he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا, he recites this with the high register of his voice. He wants to say that you should not get close to the property of the orphans.
Actually, to emphasize.
Yes, all of these are just, you know, the intonation and the stresses that he places on the words and the syllables. Illa, unless, see, he uses the intonation of his voice. Hatta, again, he uses the intonation of his voice. And especially in the two phrases. And the first one is La nukallifu. Again, no. There is no. He conveys the meaning with the intonation of his voice. And finally, when he says Thalikum wassakum bihi la'allakum tadhakkarun, he recites it with a soft tone, with a gentle manner, because Allah is saying that this is so that wasakum bihi, that you
was wise to this.
Yeah, you pay heed and you take advice, like you said. And so Allah says that, in fact, Shaykh Hassan recites this part of the verse gently, because when you want to give advice to someone, you don't shout at them.
Yes.
You don't raise your voice.
Mm-hmm.
You say it in a kind way, with a gentle
manner. A gentle manner.
But when he says la'allakum, again he raises his voice, so that you may apply, for example, reason, or that you are reminded of Allah. La'allakum tadhakkarun, so that, you know, you are reminded. This was in terms of the meaning. And these were in all of these were in Maqam Nahawand.
Okay, and now if you agree, let's talk about the tajweed points.
Yes, let's go over the tajweed points. La taqarabu. The qalqala of the qaf was applied well. Bil qisṭa. Qisṭa. The qalqala of the ta was pronounced correctly. And the seen was not pronounced with qalqala. This is important. If you say bil qisṭa, that's incorrect.
Maybe it's easier, but it's incorrect.
It's easier, but it's incorrect. Bil qisṭa. Okay.
And I think we have to pay attention to the timing of seen, because it is stuck in here.
Yes,
and
that's right.
It's a letter of rahala.
Yes, that's right. Okay, in the phrase qultum fa'dilu, the first ayin that he pronounces, he repeats this phrase twice. The first time he pronounces the ayin like a letter of rahawa. The second time he says fa'dilu. The second time he recites it correctly. He says fa'dilu.
So you mean it should be pronounced like a letter of tawassul?
Yes. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُ not فَعْدِلُ.
That is something like rahawa.
That's right.
Okay, thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program. Let's recite the Quran. Stay tuned. IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran
Recitation
Tajweed Points
Reciter's Biography
Quranic Books
Maqamat
Translation
Alhan
Short Lecture
All
in Let's Recite the Quran
The audience, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Salim Bimji.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Obviously, when we look at the Quranic teachings and the ahadith, the sayings of the infallibles, we realize that there are certain places in the world which are of a greater spiritual worth than others. And similarly, there are certain times, days, weeks, months, which have a greater importance with Allah than other times of the year. And obviously the Quran, which can be read at any time in any place, has a reward with it. But as we will see in the tradition today from the fifth Imam, that recitation of the Book of Allah in a particular city at a particular time has a greater impact and reward with Allah that comes with it. And in this tradition, the fifth Imam has been reported as stating the following. He says, "One who finishes the recitation of the entire Quran in the noble city of Mecca within the time span of one Jummah, Friday, to another Jummah, Friday, or more than this, meaning more than 1 week, but completes the Quran on the day of Jummah, on the day of Friday, Allah will write for that person the reward of good deeds from the first Jummah that one came into the world until the last Jummah that one will remain alive in it." This is a very lengthy tradition and a very beautiful tradition, which obviously, unfortunately, is only limited to those who have the ability to be in Mecca. But obviously, we ask and we pray to our Almighty Creator that He gives each and every one of us the opportunity to make the Hajj, to make the Umrah, to be present in the house of Allah. But here the fifth Imam shows us an extra special reward which is there for the believers who complete the recitation of the Quran within a week or 2 weeks or whatever time frame, but that they complete it on a Friday. And that is the key, that it is completed on the best day of the week, which is Friday. And it is completed in the best of cities, which is Mecca. And that the Quran, which is the best of the teachings of Allah, is what is read. And he says that if we are able to do so, then we would receive the rewards, a massive reward of all of the good deeds from the very first Jummah that we came into this world until the very last Jummah, the Friday that we leave this world. So obviously, again, we don't all have this opportunity to be in Mecca for this, you know, for any, you know, lengthy time period. We're only there for a few short days or weeks. But if we have the ability to be in that sacred land where the Quranic revelation began to the heart of the Messenger of Allah, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, we should take the opportunity to recite of the Quran and to reflect upon it and to try to complete its recitation within the prescribed time frame as mentioned in this hadith of Imam al-Baqir, peace be upon him, if we wish to gain this specific and special reward which Allah has in store for those who engage in its recitation and in the completion of the noble Quran.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam al Hussein alayhi salam. Ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidai.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous programs, when we reached this part of the ziyarah, فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت. Therefore, may Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against you, the household of Ahlul Bayt. We started a discussion over the fundamental consequences of this act, this laying the foundation of wrongdoing against the Ahlul Bayt. And one of the most important consequences was the interpolation of the Sharia. Sharia is a path to the proximity of Allah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said, الشريعة أقوالي والطريقة أفعالي والحقيقة أحوالي. The Sharia is my utterances, the spiritual path is my actions, and the ultimate truth is my state's. So, the Sharia, which is the Islamic law, and also the Tariqa and Hakika are all united. It is through observing the Sharia accurately and maintaining its overt and covert etiquette through the Tariqa that one can attain the proximity of the Almighty Allah, which is the Hakika of the religion. The distortion of the apparent laws of the religion can adversely determine the nature of one's journey towards human perfection. In a lengthy sermon where he enumerates some of the interpolations of the preceding ones, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, لقد عامل الولاة قبلي بأمور عظيمة خالفوا فيها رسول الله. Indeed, the rulers before me have committed grave actions by which they purposefully contradicted the Apostle of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he continues, and had I compelled the people to abandon their actions and place them in their correct positions as per the teachings during the lifetime of the Apostle of Allah, my army would have dispersed from me until I would be left alone with a very few of my followers who know my merit and my designated leadership from the Book of Allah and the tradition of the Apostle. So, this is what went on after this great, or better say, grand deviation.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right, or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We cannot go into the details of how the laws of Allah were changed according to the whims of those who ruled. However, we can somehow suffice with some of the examples. Although the Holy Prophet ﷺ did not permit nafila prayers to be conducted in congregation, one of the misguided caliphs, due to his personal whim, changed that and allowed it, and even encouraged it, such that in one of his sermons expressing his sorrow on this issue, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَمَرْتُ النَّاسَ أَنْ لَا يَجْتَمِعُوا فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ إِلَّا فِي فَرِيضَةٍ. I swear by Allah, I ordered the people not to gather in the holy month of Ramadan in congregation save during the obligatory prayers. وَأَعْلَمْتُهُمْ أَنَّ اجْتِمَاعَهُمْ فِي النَّوَافِلْ بِدْعَةٍ. And I informed them that their congregation in nawafil prayers is an innovation and bid'ah.
And at the end, Imam alayhi salam says, I feared that they would revolt within my army. And also in this regard, in a comprehensive but succinct tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, حلال محمد حلال أبدا إلى يوم القيامة. The things made lawful by Muhammad will remain lawful till the day of resurrection. وحرامه حرام أبدا إلى يوم القيامة. And the things made unlawful by Muhammad will remain unlawful until the day of resurrection. So, we wish to suffice with these examples of how laws were freely interpolated by some people. Allama Amini, in his Mawsu'a Al-Ghadir, he has explored other lapses of the caliphs preceding Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the beauty of this masterpiece is that it heavily refers to Sunni sources to convince our Sunni brethren about the traditions quoted. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عام لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
can call. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats the enchanting whisper.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And our guest speaker, as always, Sheikh Javid. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program again.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Well, the concept and the topic that we are going to delve into related to the Islamic laws issued by Ayatollah Sistani is mourning. And that is the mourning for Imam Hussein and Muharram. And this is actually a good platform for me and the whole crew here from the IRIB English Radio to express our condolences to everybody who's listening to us, to our dear audiences. And inshallah, we hope that this program would come to good use. Let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Sistani and then we'll be back.
The Grand Ayatollah Sistani comes from the family of scholars and pious men. He learned theological and rational sciences from many eminent and well-known religious scholars. At the age of five, His Eminence started learning the Holy Quran. He was then admitted in a religious center for reading, writing, and for learning basic mathematics and geography. In the beginning of 1360 Hijri, he started studying basic Hawza lessons. He also studied a number of books on philosophy.